You're listening to The Mountain Gardener with local expert Ken Lane. Mountain gardening can be challenging, but with Ken's tips, tricks, and garden advice, you'll reap huge rewards. Now, welcome back to The Mountain Gardener.
And welcome to this first week of 2019. Feels like it's going to be a good year. The gardens, where you tuned in to The Mountain Gardener. So we talk about the landscapes of northern Arizona. We're on 12 months out of the year. And this has been a really good week for the gardens. I was actually getting worried. It was so warm, so long. It was unseasonably warm and dry. I thought we were going to pull off a winter like we had last year, which killed a lot of plants. Your landscape in the outside, they are four-season climates. They need a cold snap. They need to be slowed down by cold. So at the Lane House, we had our gardens. We were seeing single digits and double digits, teens, at our house. Finally, it's warmer now, but we needed that super cold. It does two things for your landscape. One, it kills off the insects that are harboring. They're wintering over. They're nestled in between the bark. They're down at that leaf litter. We need the ground to freeze a few inches so that it kills off all those insects that were waiting. Last year, they didn't get killed off. They came back with a vengeance, and it started with aphids, and then they hit us with thrip, and it was just this wave of grasshoppers and blister beetles, and that's all because last year we didn't have a real cold winter. So they wintered over, and then the eggs hatched, and it doubled down on the number of insects. Well, if we need another week or so of real bitter cold, now it gets warm, so it pulsates, so we're warmer now, so yeah, it's freezing, but the ground isn't freezing. It got up to, what was that, Friday, it was up in the 50s again, so it's melting off, this moisture's melting off fast, and so we need another good week, sometime in January, of bitter cold. We need that to slow the plants down, so the buds were swelling on the fruit trees, on the lilacs, on the forsythia. If they swell too much, if it stays too warm, they get tricked into blooming too early. And so this cold snap slows them down so they'll wake up on the right sequence, and so you'll have a better harvest. You'll have more apples, more pears, more peaches, more apricots, more nectarines, more grapes, more. You'll have more because the cold slowed them down so they wake up later in spring. We need that to happen. We need that sap inside of those, the structure of those trees and shrubs, to just go into slow motion. They're still active. That sap is still flowing, but the cold slows that down. When it barely freezes at night and during the day it's in the 60s, man, they are just active. They're going. I'm going, bring on spring. Let's go, let's go, let's go. I can't wait. These buds swell up and get going, and the insects don't get thinned out. So this has been exceptionally good for us. And so I know you folks up in Flagstaff, the White Mountains, you celebrate snow and weather and cold. You need that weather to help the tourists come up and ski and spend some time, eat at the restaurants, eat at the hotels. You need that. That's a good tourist. It's an economic engine. Well, last year it was, I know you make snow on the hillsides, but it was kind of pathetic. And I'm a skier. This year it's so much better. So this has been good for us. Again, bring on. What I did right before the storm came, because you could see that thing hitting us, I went out and I watered everything in my landscape. I looked at it. It had been 3 weeks since I'd watered almost anything. So I went, okay, it's dry. I know right after a storm, we didn't know how much moisture we would get. They said 1 to 3 inches of snow. Like, we happened to get 5 inches at my house. So it's more than they predicted, which is great. I'll take it. Right after any storm clears out, there's always this temperature drop. So it was kind of cold. I knew it would be really cold after the system left us. And it did. It got down to, I think, 9 degrees was a low at my house. I'm up at 5,700 feet. So I'm not as cold as Groom Creek or Highland Pines or Williams or Flagstaff or White Mountain. But it got cold. Single digits once. Double digits, you know, the teens consistently last week, and now it's back in the 20s or in the lows in the 20s, which I like. I'm comfortable with that. 9 degrees, That's just cold. So what I did is I watered everything in my landscape to make sure it was hydrated before the storm came. Again, we were predicting moisture. I know that seems counterintuitive. I'm not worried about the storm. I'm worried if the storm doesn't deliver moisture, and then right afterwards we get this real dip of cold, that's when your trees, your shrubs, those evergreen hedges, that's when they get winter killed. The tops burn out on them. So I didn't want that. My pansies looked so good. Violas, my winter blooming flowers just look so good. The beets, the Swiss chard, they just look beautiful. The kale's beautiful. I didn't want to lose that just because they were a little dry and I didn't hydrate them, and then the cold came and nipped off the edges. This ensured that they would go through this storm system healthy. It's good. You should water your landscape at least once a month. I would say twice a month if you've got flowers and some winter vegetables, that kind of stuff going. Twice a month. Even if you see a storm coming, that's my cue to actually power up the watering, at least in midwinter. That just make sure that my landscape comes through strong, keeps blooming. So the other little bit of advice I can give you, maybe two things. I got 5 inches of snow at my house. So the landscape, I've got a lot of container gardens. The water feature's still going, comes on middle of the day because I want to feed my birds. There's some birds that hang out with me. Robins are thick in my yard right now. So they use this water fountain out front as a water source. They bathe in it and all kinds. They're just having a fun time. I make sure that when we get a heavy snow, if you know it's going to be cold right as that system leaves, it just like it's this cold snap. It just always dips an extra 10, 15 degrees. What I do is as the clouds leave and that cold settles in, I leave my pansies, my container gardens, things in my gardens, I leave them covered. I don't brush that snow off of them. I'm using that as a huge blanket or pillow. It keeps that bitter cold from freezing the root structure, from burning off the flowers. And then a couple days afterwards, I'll brush it off and go, here, enjoy the sun again, because it got real bright and sunny. So that's one thing, except for my evergreens. Your spruce, that new Arizona cypress hedgerow, the Leland cypress, the junipers, those things, I like to brush the weight off, especially your real fast-growing things like Deodora cedars. They grow so fast. It's probably the fastest-growing of the evergreens. Your cypress, Arizona cypress, they grow so fast, so thick, so full, they hold this snow on them, then they start to bend under the weight of that snow. I like to brush off the weight. I don't take all the snow off. I just slowly at the bottom of that evergreen, I'll take a broom, just slowly sweep from side to side so I don't break a branch. You're already weighted down so heavy. If you take a broom and brush from the top of that tree and brush down, you can snap branches off. Trust me, this is School of Hard Knocks. I know this. So I do that at the garden center. I brush that snow off. We just have these beautiful Colorado spruce. If that weight of that snow settles on those branches and then it gets really cold afterwards, sometimes I've had this where the tree takes on that form and the snow melts and then it stays in that form. It got frozen in that shape. And so now it looks kind of droopy and kind of lazy, and it's not as perky and upright and bright and blue like it should be. But if you sweep that weight off, the branches come back. As the snow melts, the branches come right back and it takes its shape. Take the weight off of those, especially the young trees. A big tree, it's not practical. But a smaller tree, you just plant, they last 2, 3, 4 years. It's still reachable, still able to get a broom to it. I would take the weight of that snow off of those branches. Not every bit of snow. I'll take 4 of the 5 inches off. And that's enough to keep them healthy, keep them strong, and it keeps the form of that tree intact. We're getting real deep into garden advice for the mountains of Arizona, but it's unique to us. This higher elevation, I would say from Kingman to Payson and up, that works. Camp Verde, Cottonwood, you guys are just low enough, maybe. Well, you got some snow too. I would say the same advice. goes for you all. So all of us, once you get out of Black Canyon City, all of us north, there you go. That's the advice. As we've got a lot in store for you this week, don't change that dial. I'll be right back with Lisa Waters Lane in with your garden questions.
You're listening to local garden expert Ken Lane, also known as the Mountain Gardener. Ken can be found throughout the week at Waters Garden Center in Prescott. Listen each week as he answers timely garden questions unique to mountain landscapes.
Did you know that plants can help you sleep better, naturally?
At Waters Garden Center, we have beautiful houseplants that not only look great, they clean the air we breathe.
Get this. Some plants can actually produce oxygen at night and even take mold spores out of the air, making for less tossing and turning and more beauty sleep.
Don't lose sleep. Rise and shine with unique, gorgeous houseplants for your best rest yet at Waters Garden Center.
Sweet dreams.
Hi, Lisa with the plants of the week and our Goshiki holly.
Goshiki translates from Japanese as holly with five colors. Its new leaves emerge red, then turn green.
The entire top of this holly is draped in colors of cream, white, gray, yellow, and green.
This evergreen makes the perfect accent, hedge, or evergreen container for its all-round good looks.
A really nice plant that shines through winter is just $39.
Waters Garden Center, where people who love Japanese gardens, they love to shop.
You're listening to The Mountain Gardener with local expert Ken Lane. Mountain gardening can be challenging, but with Ken's tips, tricks, and garden advice, you'll reap huge rewards. Now, welcome back to The Mountain Gardener.
And we are back with Lisa Waters Lane in the studio. She comes each week with your garden questions. And isn't it nice to be back and be forward into 2019?
It is. Always great to start a new year, see what the year holds, especially with spring. Because we start thinking spring now. So we're
into it big time.
We've got orders placed. We got things showing up. So you get excited.
It's surprising to me how excited you get by how quickly the Christmas ornaments and the tree comes down. We're talking like hours after the holidays event. I mean, again, the grandkids were still enjoying the...
It wasn't hours. It was at least 2-3 days.
Anyway, there's not one lick of anything left in our house, except for on the roof.
Right.
I've got the icicle lights and stuff still up because there's snow on the roof. I'm afraid of falling off. So as soon as there's a snow, those will come off too. So
yeah. I don't know. I love Christmas, love the holidays, but once they're done, boy, I'm ready to move on.
Poinsettias are on the front patio. They are in the garage. They are in the dumpster. They are anywhere but in our house. And new house plants, I notice, are starting to filter
starting to come in. Yeah,
that's good.
Time for a fresh start. That's what the new year means.
That's true. That's good. I'm looking forward to 2019. I'm looking, I think, our garden. I've got some plans. I'm trying to figure out colors. I'm thinking purple.
Oh my gosh. I have plans too. This could be bad.
front yard's yours. Backyard's mine. But, no, let's switch. Let's put your thumbprint in the backyard, mine in the front yard.
Mm,
that could be different.
That could be different. I don't know if I could do that.
I could.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
Anyway.
You'll take over the front and the back.
Oh, if I can, that's the goal. So what are some of the garden questions we've got that other folks are asking about?
Okie dokie. Well, Donnie wants to know, he used a living tree inside as a Christmas tree. Wants to know how long outside should it acclimate before he can go ahead and plant it in the yard?
Not very long, so a few days. So this is a smart gardener. So brought it indoors, decorated it, used it, and now brought it back outdoors. And the advice is 7 days. So you put it outside under a covered patio, up against a south-facing wall, any wall around your house, really, and let it get used to the cold again. So that sap starts running back and forth up and down the tree because you brought it indoors. It's 70 degrees indoors, and it's sustained. It wants to be cold, so we want to slow it back down. And just to throw it right out there into 10-degree weather, maybe not ideal. Mm-hmm. So you start with putting it outside and let it get used to the cold again. Then you just plant it right in the ground. It'll actually start rooting. It'll start growing like your other plants are. It's just in slow motion. So because it's cool, by February and March, we're talking things speed up really fast. And by April 1, candles are elongating. We're talking growth is in full swing. So put it in the ground, stake it so the snow, if we get another snow, it doesn't fall over and break some of those new root hairs off. So go for it. So 1 week is the answer.
Okay. And should he water it during that 1 week?
Yeah, I would. Yeah, don't let it dry out. I mean, because a dry plant can get damaged. Mm-hmm. So keep it hydrated. Give it a deep soak right as you pull it outside till water is flowing through the bottom of the root balls, those holes in the bottom of that grower's pot. Just really water it deep, and then you're probably good until you plant it. When you plant it, fill that hole up, the ground, the hole you're going to dig, fill that thing halfway up with water so you're hydrating the surrounding soil, not just the plant. So, and then you actually put it in this sloppy soil kind of material, then top it off and mound it and put your irrigation in or do whatever you're going to do, and then deep soak it when you get all done. That should be, do that once every 2-3 weeks until the growing season starts. And you'll know the growing season because the candle growth, that new needles will start growing next, usually end of March, April, when it starts taking off. That's kind of your cue.
Okay, sounds good. Lynn has a question. She, on the north side of her house, with the snow that we had, it's just ice. So she has a lot of ice and snow around her shrubs back there. And she wants to know, is that okay? Or should she be digging or moving that ice off of there?
Oh, no. You're perfectly fine. Go for it. Not a big issue. So let it just melt on its own. Of course, the north side sounds like she's a little bit higher elevation. That's great. So just let it sit there. It kind of slows the plant growth down, which is good. That snow will actually kill off some of the insects. It actually permeates down the ground, so it thins out your slugs and snails and aphids and thrip and ciliads and all these other funky mountain insects we have. Mm-hmm. It'll get rid of those. It's actually a good thing. So let them go. I wouldn't let the snow settle on top of the foliage of the plants. I'd like brush that off a little bit. Mm-hmm. But don't stress it. These are outdoor plants. They are used to the cold. Most of the plants we sell here at the Garden Center can go down to zero easily. I would say most of them go down to minus 20, 30, 40 degrees before they get damaged. So don't worry about a little bit of snow. It's okay. All these Californians, they stress over the tropical folks, the Palm Springs, Tucson. They just stress over four seasons. It's all right.
Sure. They probably don't need to water as long as there's ice on there because it's kind of slowly melting and,
that's right.
and watering as you go.
It'll do a benefit as it melts, you know, here in the next couple of weeks. It'll slowly trickle down and just work its way in and hydrate those plants. It'll be perfect. It's actually a real benefit.
Okay. Next question is from Mandy. She wants to know, she's heard that you can cast your wildflower seeds on top of your snow. And then as the snow melts and, you know, that whole process, is that a good idea here or is it really still too cold?
No, you can do that. Actually, ideally would be you cast it before the snow comes. Mm. So the water, that water we were talking about for the north side of the shrubs for the last caller, they melt down. You could get it to actually get down into the soil. But if you missed it, on top of the soil is great. Just remember, it's on top of the soil, so it's easily spotted by
birds,
mice, rats, everything else. So kind of maybe mix it up with some mulch is what we recommend. Take a bag of Waters Premium Mulch, mix up in a wheelbarrow, then spread it out, and that'll hide some of the seed, help it germinate better. It'll actually get the soil down into, it'll actually get more seed-soil contact. There's a lot of benefits to that. Okay. So yeah, go for it. I would say too, the last caller, this is a time for your evergreens especially. Mm-hmm. If you fertilize this midwinter, put some fertilizer on top of that snow. As it melts, it'll actually get that fertilizer down into the soil and it'll keep your evergreens green. Otherwise, they tend to turn a little yellow on us. So they get winter chlorosis. So by fertilizing midwinter, especially the evergreens or the shrubs that didn't bloom last spring, that lilac, it just wouldn't stubborn. Just wouldn't bloom. Fertilize now. Let the snow push that down into the ground, and it'll help you have a better flush of blooms in the spring, a better green in the winter. Help those seed get down. The snow is a good thing. In the mountains of Arizona.
Okay. Well, I have a question kind of in relation to that. So with all the snow and ice, a lot of people are using ice melt.
Yeah.
And different things to kind of keep that ice level down. Does that have any effect on your trees and shrubs? Do you need to be careful when using that?
Yeah, you do have to be really careful. So there's different kinds of ice melts. There's a whole bunch of them on the marketplace. Just make sure when you're buying yours from the hardware store or box store or whatever, make sure it says that it's good for, it's okay for plants. So it's not pure salt. Don't use rock salt. That's terrible. It's terrible for your concrete, terrible for your pavers, terrible for your plants. It's terrible. Don't use rock salt. Use a ice melt product, and there they mitigate some of that salt buildup, the chemicals they're using. So they've got some that are more favorable towards plants. They won't damage your plants. So we use ice melt on our driveway because we've got a pretty steep, you know, we're overlooking North Slope sidewalk and stuff. We make sure we use ice melt that is okay for our landscape. And remember, that ice also goes downstream. So it can kill just off the driveway and down the landscape. So this is important. Really use the right product. It'll actually say, safe for the landscape. Mm-hmm. So if you do that, you're fine. We actually slung some up on our driveway before the snow actually came. They were predicting 1 inch. Then I'll just throw it out there ahead of time, keep it open. And then it got buried under 5 inches of snow. So great questions this week, folks. We'll be right back with Ken and Lisa Lane and the Mountain Gardeners right after this.
The Mountain Gardener, your source for garden advice right for the higher elevation of Arizona with local garden expert and the Mountain Gardener himself, Ken Lane. Listen in every week for Ken's tips, tricks, and techniques that are guaranteed to make a difference in your yard this season.
Let's talk poop.
Hey, I'm Tommy at Waters Garden Center. Ken and Lisa are out right now, so I snuck in to remind you that it's time to add some manure to your garden. It's been a wet winter, and your soil is, well, pooped. Waters Barnyard Manure adds nutrients to get your garden growing. It's organic and odorless, so we really can say our poop don't stink. Buy 6 bags or more. They're only $5.99. Now that's a load of crap.
Tommy, what's going on?
Oh, poop, gotta go. Natural, safe, odorless, and organic at Waters Garden Center.
Hi, Ken here with the Plants of the Week and our McMinn Manzanita.
Part of Waters' expanding native selection, this is the big, bold manzanita you find growing throughout Arizona.
A local evergreen growing wild with the classic red bark for a styling, drought-hardy landscape.
Locally grown for local landscapes, this easy-care shrub is just $39.
Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott, where people who love lots of native plants, they love to shop.
Listening to The Mountain Gardener with local expert Ken Lane. Mountain gardening can be challenging, but with Ken's tips, tricks, and garden advice, you'll reap huge rewards. Now, welcome back to The Mountain Gardener.
Now, here's a couple extra things, kind of the bonus session. Some things I'm doing with my own landscape. I've got a fairly large pond in the back. I've got a small water feature that the water basin's actually below ground, and I've got rocks that kind of cover that. So the water never freezes in that water fountain. It's going up through granite and bubbles up, and it's beautiful. The birds love it. The backyard's full-on pond with waterfalls and creeks, and it's beautiful. And the dove and the bigger birds, they really like that backyard. The water froze. In fact, I had the grandkids over for Christmas. I'm going, okay, boys, we're going ice skating. They're going, yeah, let's do this. Of course, they're right to the edge trying to see if they can, they're going to fall in. That's only like a 2-foot pond, so it's not, wasn't that dangerous, but there, it froze solid where you could walk on it. I didn't walk on it, but Grant kids could. The dogs could. The birds can. But what I did is I've got a skimmer on this thing. I actually broke my pond heater out, and it was freezing to where the inside of the skimmer was starting to get ice. It was affecting the autofill, the skimmer effects. It just was affecting that. I find when I take a simple floating water heater, I use a floating one, I'm just keeping a hole open in the pond so that the skimmer stays open, stays skimming, doesn't freeze solid. It does two things. One, it helps the birds get to the water, so it opens up space for them. If you've got fish, now I don't happen to have fish in my pond. I chlorinate it and just go, oh, I just want it for aesthetics. I don't want more maintenance. I don't grow lilies in it. I don't grow, nothing's in it but water. It's just for the birds and the rustling sound in my ears and the visual aesthetics while you're out there by the hot tub grilling for friends. It's for aesthetics. It keeps that open oxygen going. So if you do have fish, helps them. It allows the birds to get in, and it keeps my skimmer from getting frozen up. You should probably keep a hole in. Now, what I used to do before I had a pond heater is I'd throw a tennis ball, or I've even had a log, anything that will warm up, get exposed to the sun and start warming up, that's enough. So I wanted a little bit more, mainly because I'm a bird guy, and I have so many birds, it's ridiculous back there. Last week, I had 100 robins all over the place, the whole backyard. Was nothing but a flock of robins. It's very cool. So I'm trying to help my birds. And I don't want maintenance for my skimmer. And I don't want to have issues with my pond. So that's kind of one thing that I did extra. The other one that I'm using right now is Quick Connects on my hose. They make a way. You know, a hose is kind of a pain to screw on the outside faucet. I know we got frost-free faucets, but you're screwing that thing on. And when you're done, you got to screw it off. Your hands are freezing. It's just, ugh. You got to take it off because it could freeze because your frost-free outdoor faucets aren't effective when you keep the hose on there. So you got to take it off while it's freezing. What I do is I make a quick connect. So it's a way you can actually connect that hose on and off very quickly within a second or two with one hand. No screwing, no putzing around. It just, I quickly get it on, quickly get it off. I've got a faucet in the back, a faucet in the front. I have one for each. For a good one, a brass made one. I mean, go with brass, not plastic. Plastic breaks in the cold. It's just a pain. Get a metal one. It works better. They're more expensive, but well worth the extra, you know, $5-$8 to get a good brass quick connect on your hoses. Now you can wash your car easier. You can hand water that container garden or a new tree you put in last year. It just makes it really easy to use the hose in the backyard. And then lastly, I was walking around Constellation Trail with the grandkids over the holiday, and the gophers, oh my gosh, they are bad. Now this cold snap, it may actually force them to go deeper. They actually hibernate. But when it's warm, they're up actively digging up everything. They're eating the roots off of your plants. That's their food source. Make sure they don't take a foothold in your gardens so they can come back. You'll come back and, you know, you put the gardens to bed in the fall. You wake up in the spring, go out and go work the soil, and your trees are falling over because no roots are left. If you see mounds of showing up through the snow in the gardens, make sure you go after them. Don't let them eat your plants. They could do a lot of damage in the next couple of months of winter. They can really decimate your land. I mean, entire agave groves can go south. Your entire red-tip photinia hedge can be killed if you don't go after them. If you need help with that, I am a gopher master. I know how to take care of gophers in a serious way, either by traps, by tools, by gas. I've got this down. So, and our staff really knows how to go after them. They're kind of difficult because they're an underground rat, basically. They're kind of difficult to control. With a few tricks, can really get you going. Just put that on your radar. A lot of you are out in the county, that interface with the wild areas, gophers are active there. Big ranch areas, big property, you've got this gopher pressure. Don't let them take out that new fruit tree or hedgerow that you just put in. Lisa Waters Lane coming right back with her segment. Be right back.
The Mountain Gardener, your source for garden advice right for the higher elevation of Arizona with local garden expert and the Mountain Gardener himself, Ken Lane. Listen in every week for Ken's tips, tricks, and techniques that are guaranteed to make a difference in your yard this season.
My living room feels so empty.
Now that the Christmas tree is gone, the house just seems so blah.
Brighten it up with a big, bold, beautiful plant from Waters Garden Center.
Fill that cavernous space with tall tropicals, colossal cactus, and sizable succulents that bring the great outdoors indoors.
Make a gorgeous green space you can enjoy all year, not just for a season.
Unique, exclusive, one-of-a-kind houseplants found only at Waters Garden Center in Prescott.
In a new place, it's difficult to know who to trust, how to get help at the house, and which nursery will simply do what they say they'll do.
At Waters Garden Center, we're here to help, in the landscape at least.
Our team of plant ambassadors know your neighborhood, the plants that add color, increase privacy, and add fragrance and beauty.
And we can show you exactly how to plant locally, or we have teams to do all the work for you.
We are Ken and Lisa Lane, and we guarantee our plants will live up to every promise here at Waters Garden Center.
And we are back with Lisa Waters Lane. She comes each week with this segment. This is the gardener extraordinaire section. So my wife has grown up here in the garden center. And so we've been married a lot of years. She is a extraordinary gardener. And I thought, I don't want people to get bored just listening to my droning on voice over and over. I'll give Lisa a segment. So this is each week. It's all about you.
Yes. Very exciting. I get my own thing.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, what a fun New Year it was, too, wasn't it?
All the snow. Snow. Yeah. Well, with grandkids, man. Yes. We've got a four-year-old and an eight-year-old, and the four-year-old was like a human snowball. He just he's just slurping through ice angels. He's like covered head to toe in snow. Yes. He doesn't feel it seems like. Whereas his brother, I might get dirty. I'm not sure. Just the personality differences are hilarious.
Well, plus they live in El Paso, so right. They came here. They don't have the snow gear, right, honestly. Yeah. So, but they wanted to go play in the snow. So we dressed them up as warm as we could and threw them out there, and they had a ball.
Built a snowman, kind of. Mm-hmm. I didn't have any coal or carrots really to go in, so we used hot dogs.
Which Vincent
for the nose. Yeah, the dog went out and played with, oh, yummy, bonus, look, a hot dog nose for a snowman. Yeah, lasted maybe an afternoon.
Not even that long, I don't think.
Hilarious. Anyway, this segment's about you.
Yes.
What you got for us this week?
Well, as you know, we have been preparing the inside of our store, getting it ready, and we expanded our houseplants in, threefold, fourfold? Yeah,
the whole inside of the store, we're talking thousands of square feet of houseplants. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen anything like it. There's nothing like it in northern Arizona. Warner's maybe comes close, but that's in Flagstaff. I'd say we got them. We trumped them.
You think?
Because they're good friends. We asked, asked them going, hey, what do you do? Where are you going? How do you do this? What do you? So we just kind of took theirs and finessed it more. Mm-hmm. So we definitely have bigger plants.
Oh, definitely. So we got rid of poinsettias because Christmas is over. Those are out the door. And now we're focusing on really filling that room and making it it's like a paradise when you walk in there, especially with it being cold and snowy out. You walk in.
Tropical
like,
paradise. We have new greenhouse glass, new skylights, new fixtures with new LED lights, full spectrum, new. It just shows off. It feels comfortable. If you just want to get your, feels like a botanical garden.
Yeah.
That you're walking through in a greenhouse. It's that kind of feel, which is what we are noted for. The outside of the garden center feels that way during the season. Mm-hmm. Now it's covered in snow. So and things are dormant. Things are
not as pretty.
The inside's great.
If you just need to chillax for a few minutes, grab a cup of coffee, your favorite cup of tea, come on over to Waters and just walk through. You'll feel better. Your skin will feel better.
True.
Your attitude will be better.
So. Nice, fresh, clean air. Mm-hmm. Just think of all the oxygen those plants are throwing off. I hadn't thought about that, but you're surrounded with that many plants.
Yeah.
It's got to be a benefit to your lungs and everything else, your mental definitely. State.
Mental state.
At least mine.
But so definitely. And one of the things we're really trying to focus on is finding those plants that you don't just see everywhere. You can find a pothos or an ivy just about anywhere. But there really are some unique plants that are gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous, that you just don't see everywhere. So we're kind of trying to be more unique. One of the other things that we're great at is our plants are clean. They're not going to be coming home with insects infested on them, mealybug, aphids.
That's true. That's important.
They're going to be clean. You're bringing a clean plant back into your home. Second of all, we have great advice. I mean, houseplants, if you're not a huge houseplant person or you're just thinking about getting back into it, can be kind of scary. I mean, everybody's kind of afraid of houseplants for some reason or another. But Ella, who's our houseplant queen, and a lot of the other people on staff, Cheryl, Amy, Michelle, we have really good information and can teach you how to take care of your houseplant. So it's not a mystery and you don't have to be afraid. You could actually enjoy them.
Yeah, that's great advice. And so I think that's any time you can hang out with an expert, mm-hmm. you just pick stuff up from them. So if you're just not sure, that's why we hold so many garden classes here. But we like spending one-on-one mm-hmm. with folks just as well as we do 1-on-50 in a garden class.
Right.
So we're willing to take that time. Mm-hmm. Especially if you're buying a $100 floor plant that goes to the ceiling, this big, bold, gorgeous thing for your office or mm-hmm. a living room, you kind of want to know how to take care of that better. And so take that extra time. Mm-hmm. So what are some things that maybe are unusual that people haven't heard of or different size or shape or what you teased us?
Well, we've got some beautiful, and within the family of Dracaenas, there's like what, 100 million varieties?
Yeah, maybe more.
And I do not know all the varieties. I know, okay, that's a Dracaena. So I was out walking our floor, seeing what we had, and we have several different varieties of Dracaena that are spectacular. If you're looking for a big floor plant, we've definitely got you covered. We have one that's they call it Dragon Tree Dracaena. The trunk on it it's absolutely gorgeous.
It's a tree. It's beautiful. It's stunning.
It almost, people, you know, you get different things. People are like, oh, it has scales. It looks like a fish or it looks like an alligator because it's got a pattern or texture to the trunk. So definitely a specimen plant for inside your house. Especially these houses that have these big tall ceilings and you need something in there that's going to make a statement. Because if you put a little 2-foot houseplant with a 14-foot ceiling, it isn't going to say much.
Yeah.
But these are absolutely gorgeous. And so several varieties of Dracaenas that are this is spectacular. And the thing I love about Dracaena so much is you see their trunks because of the way the leaves come off of them. So it really adds interest to a room.
I would think too. I mean, Ella takes care of, she's got a side business where she mm-hmm. takes care of houseplants for like all offices and that kind of stuff. Michelle has the same thing mm-hmm. out in Prescott Valley. If you're in an office, you're stuck behind a keyboard all day long in a sterile white room with mm-hmm. a dim, you know, fluorescent light bulb flickering, you know, you're about to go in an epileptic fit. Boy, a nice houseplant in the corner too, or hanging from the, I think it ups the environment. You're going to spend all day in this room. Mm-hmm. Have it nice where it's yours. I mean, this is something, it's refreshing. So there's some health benefits, but really it's just aesthetics.
Oh,
really
agree.
Ups it. But Dracaenas are the perfect plant for that.
And they're so easy care. I mean, low water, low light, take it all. We have some gorgeous braided ficus in. So with braided ficus, they have trunks, like three trunks, and they're braiding them like you braid your hair.
Yeah.
So you're seeing the trunk with the foliage on the top. And that too is very, very pretty. We have braided in ficus. We have a braided Scheffalera or umbrella plant.
Neat.
And we have braided money tree plants, which
I missed
really,
those.
Really cool.
Really? I'm going to go look at those after the show. That's kind of neat.
I really like the look that they bring into a room. We've also really focused on our cactus and succulents. We have some stunning euphorbias. And if you're looking for a big euphorbia that takes like no care at all, you can virtually ignore it. These are spectacular.
They're as tall as you and I.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, some of them are taller. Mm-hmm. I mean, they could fill an 8-foot ceiling, 10-foot ceiling easy. And be a statement.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I've got one in my office at home.
Yes.
And the kids were going, is that real? Yeah, it's real. I own a garden center. What are you talking about, son? Come on.
So we really focus a lot of the succulents, bringing color in. There's a lot of succulents that have color in them, some pinks and reds and that kind of stuff. So really focused on that. We have some gorgeous red pencil plants in right now. Spectacular. The other one that we have is really unique is a ruby rubber tree. Now, rubber trees have those big leaves. Most people are used to them being green, really thick, heavy. These are kind of a cherry, kind of cream color. Very, very different in their coloration. Absolutely gorgeous. I wish I had more time to go through all the different ones that we have.
There's too many. I mean, you had a truckload. I mean, you had a semi-load of houseplants come in so to fill this thing up. And our thought is, the Christmas tree is coming down. Mm-hmm. And so there's this big space that you've had something green there. Even if it's plastic, it felt like it was a tree.
Right.
And so now it feels more cavernous. We've mm-hmm. got some plants that will help you fill up. And then quite honestly, look at your house air filter.
Oh, yeah.
It's clogged. It's dusty in there. You're recirculating this air. Mm-hmm. Houseplants just help you.
They clean the air.
They clean really the air do. And add oxygen and take mm-hmm. formaldehyde from all those Chinese gifts you got from it just helps in so many ways.
Yeah.
So great advice, Lisa. Come and talk to Lisa and the crew about houseplants in your yard. Those are some great advice. Thank you. Be right back with more with Ken and Lisa Lane and the Mountain Gardeners.
The Mountain Gardener, your source for garden advice right for the higher elevation of Arizona with local garden expert and the Mountain Gardener himself, Ken Lane. Listen in every week for Ken's tips, tricks, and techniques that are guaranteed to make a difference in your yard this season.
Did you know that plants can help you sleep better, naturally?
At Waters Garden Center, we have beautiful houseplants that not only look great, they clean the air we breathe.
Get this. Some plants can actually produce oxygen at night and even take mold spores out of the air, making for less tossing and turning and more beauty sleep.
Don't lose sleep. Rise and shine with unique, gorgeous houseplants for your best rest yet at Waters Garden Center.
Sweet dreams.
Wondering why my garden looks amazing? Well, that's personal. The personal garden shopper service at Waters Garden Center, that is. Before talking with my personal shopper, I had no idea which plants would be best for me. But now my garden is bursting with flowers and buzzing with hummingbirds. Just go to watersgardencenter.com, click on shop, and choose personal garden shopper. A Waters Garden expert will pick the perfect plants for you, personally. The personal garden shopper, only at Waters Garden Center in Prescott.
We are at our coldest nights. About 2 weeks after the winter solstice, you hit your low spot. Then the days get longer. It starts to get warmer and warmer. And in northern Arizona, we're so bright. The sun just feels so good. So it warms up faster than other parts of the country, like the Midwest. Here, we can actually start planting mid-February, first part of March. Seriously, into the serious garden planting season, first part of March. At least at that 6,000 and below level. So for definitely the Kingman, Payson's, Camp Verde, Cottonwoods, Prescott areas, we are into the planting zone, especially fruit trees, flowering shrubs. I think you can even go in with your winter or early spring vegetables like kales and spinach and radishes and carrots and those types of things. So you need to get your soils prepped because in 6 weeks, into five, six weeks, it's going to start getting nice to where you're going to start seeing daffodils elongating, coming up out of the earth and going, I am about to bloom. We're going for this. It feels like spring. Now, I hope we get some cold that holds that back some. So it shows up more in March rather than in February. But in northern Arizona, you just never know. Last year, it was very early. I mean, it was right after Valentine's. Boom, it was going. So I just get your soils ready so when the season does hit, you are able to go after it. The secret with vegetable and flower garden soils, you need a good, rich soil that breathes, that's aerated, that's got lots of organics, and the water percolates through the different soil bands. That way you encourage a deep, massive, large root structure. So you can increase that tomato harvest, the squash harvest, more lettuce leaves, more Brussels sprouts coming off. You get more. You'll get more pansies, more dahlias, more marigolds, more petunias. You'll get more by prepping your soil. Our soil, we don't have any real soil here. And the little bit that we do have gets used up very, very quickly when you start growing in it. So it's only a few inches thick. The top layer of topsoil is very, very shallow. And if you've got a raised bed, if you're in an area where you're rototilling quite often and you're adding some organics, what happens is the worms, the mycorrhizal fungi, the beneficials that live in the soil along with the plants, they use up the nutrients, they use up the organics, they use up, and it will leave your crushed granite looking like it's dark, but really there's nothing in there for them. So what I do in my own gardens, I replenish my raised beds is how I'm doing things. I replenish the top layer of my organics, and I replenish that so that I have some nutrients back in there. At the same time, I add fertilizers. I add some phosphate sources. I'm front loading my flower and vegetable beds so that I, when it does actually, the planting season starts, I just start plugging and go. It's just it. The soil work has been done, and I do that in the winter. I do it now. Here's what I do, and I'll start with my container gardens, because Lisa and I, we have over 50 container gardens. I mean, a lot in the back, a lot in the front. Big swooping patios. We have a lot of patios. We love to entertain. Lots of things. Lots of vegetables are grown in our containers. Trees are grown in our containers. Roses and lots of vegetables. Lots of flowers, of course. It's beautiful. I start with my containers. I'll take the top layer out of my containers, about a foot down. I'll take that soil that I used last year and I add that potting soil to my raised beds. I'm rotating the soils. I want freshness in each of my containers, the top layer at least. A really big pot, it's not practical to replace all the soil, but you can replace the top layer, and that's what I'm going for. If it's a small pot, I would say under 10 inches and smaller, I just take the whole thing, dump it out in my raised bed and go, here. That's my starter layer out there in the raised beds. And I'll put fresh new potting soil in that container. That's what I'm going for. So I start with my containers, then I move to the raised beds, and then I move to in the ground kind of stuff. That's my process. The raised beds, I want to add about a 2 to 3 inch layer. And this is just, I'm just quoting the book here. 2 to 3 inch layer of organic matter on top, tilled down to one shovel's depth or one rototiller depth or one. I mean, if you get into English gardening and stuff, they go double turn and oh my gosh, they make it complicated. If you're just adding some organics every year, that seems to be good enough in my gardens. I get very good production. I grow giant pumpkins and huge tomatoes and lots of squash and tons of flowers just with this simple process. I'll take that soil I took out of my containers and I'll kind of spread it out over the raised beds as best I can because that's got roots and all kinds of, I'll try to thin out what was there last year, but those old roots, when they rot, they taint the soil. Actually, as old roots decompose in the ground, they actually affect other roots from growing in that zone. So you don't want those old root masses. If it's a big rotted kind of hairy ball of from the tomato plant last year, I pull that out and throw it in the compost pile. I don't want it in my raised bed. Now I will add and top off or add to that some manure. I use barnyard manure here at the garden center. I make my own manure. I know it seems crazy, but I make my own manure. We make our own potting soil. We make our own mulch. We make our own topsoil because the garden success is actually in those additives. It's in your soil. So I'll add, for me, I just take whatever's broken out there, whatever broken bag, if it's a mulch, if it's topsoil, if it's potting soil, but I really like the barnyard manure. It's got a mixture of, it's got bedding, it's deodorized, it's not gooey and gross. You can actually work it with your bare hands. I encourage gloves because it does have the word manure on it, but I'm just adding a 2-inch layer over the entire thing. I want to turn that in to one shovel's depth. That's my process. Now, while I'm turning, I also add three things. Two in addition to the organics. I'm going to add an all-purpose plant food. I make my own fertilizer, so it's a 744 all-natural food. I might as well work that in the ground while I'm turning the soil. Just put it where the roots are going to be. In addition, I'll add a phosphorus source. Bone meal is the easiest. I'll add bone meal, which is 0, 10, 0. So that middle number creates roots and promotes fruits. Roots and fruits. That's what you want with your flowers and veggies. Well, I'm going to put that where I'm going to grow veggies, especially root crops, radishes and beets and carrots. That's really important for them. So I'm going to add that in there. And then third, wherever I've got the big summer vegetables, tomatoes, I would say potatoes, squash, anything that grows a big fruit, peppers, cucumbers. I'm going to add gypsum or calcium nitrate, what I really like to add. It's a It's a calcium source. We're notorious for blossom end rot. And so where the end of that fruit, let's say a tomato, where the blossom was, it has a black spot. And if it's really bad, it's going to eat up half of the fruit. That's called blossom end rot. That is almost always, in northern Arizona, almost always, a calcium deficiency. Well, if you know we're going to struggle with this, and a lot of that has to do with our alkaline water, and there's some other issues why that happens, but we have an unusual issue with that. Well, you can front load your vegetable gardens, especially with calcium. And that's either done with gypsum or calcium nitrate. It's a nitrogen source, a sulfur source, and a calcium source. Put some calcium in there. For you organic gardeners, that's eggshells. If you can take those eggshells and crush them up and add them to your compost pile, that's a great source of calcium. But I think if you're going to grow vegetables out in the yard, you need to add some calcium. And so I'm taking manure or compost, one of those two, a mulch source, something organic. I'm going to till that down to one shovel's depth. Before I till it, I'm going to add some fertilizer, the all-purpose plant food, some bone meal, and some calcium. So those four things, then I turn all of that together into my garden beds, and man, that is the magic. Oh, we're talking, just start haphazardly throwing some vegetables in there, and they are just going to produce. In fact, it's so rich, I put my giant pumpkins on the outer edge of my raised beds, and they just overflow, and they produce 50, 60, 100-pound pumpkins. It's beautiful if you've got a great, rich, organic, natural soil. Then you want to let that soil settle for about a month because you got a lot of organics. Just let it sit there. That's why you want to do it early. Don't wait and then plug. You want to do it early and then let it settle and then start plugging your plants in there. That's the magic to great gardens in northern Arizona.
The Mountain Gardener, your source for garden advice right for the higher elevation of Arizona with local garden expert and the Mountain Gardener himself, Ken Lane. Listen in every week for Ken's tips, tricks, and techniques that are guaranteed to make a difference in your yard this season.
Hi, Lisa with the Plants of the Week and our Victory Pyracantha.
It's impossible to kill this evergreen shrub. Your garden victory is assured.
Birds will nest and revel amongst the cluster of bold red berries.
Thick enough to hedge and screen, yet tall enough to use as a windbreak.
A big, bold plant is just $59 and sure to impress your garden friends.
Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott, where people who love Victory Gardens, they love to shop.
Hi, Waters with the Plants of the Week and our Roman Beauty Rosemary.
This Mediterranean beauty has graceful, arching branches that flow over rock walls, raised beds, or container's edge.
A culinary herb often used in potpourri.
Rugged, deer-resistive, evergreen, likes crummy soil, drought, and abuse. Now that's my kind of shrub for under $36.
Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott, where people who love unusual, healthy herbs, they love to shop.
You're listening to The Mountain Gardener with local expert Ken Lane. Mountain gardening can be challenging, but with Ken's tips, tricks, and garden advice, you'll reap huge rewards. Now, welcome back to The Mountain Gardener.
Now, I've thrown a lot of garden tips at you this week, just this midwinter getting ready, prepping. I'm noticing on my feeds and in my mailbox, I'm seeing seed catalogs showing up. You're starting to see that first, you know, plan for next year, plan for spring, which I love. As a gardener, I love meditating, thinking what color I'm going to pick for my flowers. What's my theme going to be? It's just fun to think that way, especially as you take down those Christmas ornaments. You take down, you just get, it feels bland. There's a little snow on the ground. It looks kind of dirty. I'm wanting spring. I've hit you with a lot of different garden advice, from soil prep to gophers to winter damage, watering. We are starting our garden classes. When is that? The 19th. Let me look that up real quick. I think that's January. Yeah, January 19th. We start with healthy, happy houseplants. We've got big houseplants just arrived. How do you grow them? Which ones are easiest? We've got our garden guru on houseplants coming in to teach that class. It'll be Saturday, the 19th at 9:30. Always classes are Saturdays, 9:30, just so you know. They're free. The following week, so January 26th, it's wildflowers. You want to put your wildflowers in while it's cold. They need this winter. In fact, if you could have put wildflowers down before the snow hit, oh, that would have been the magic. That would have really done you a huge favor. We're going over why and how. We've made our own mixes here, so we'll share some of those. What really works, the higher elevations of Arizona. February 2nd, we've got advanced pruning. So we're into pruning right now. How do you prune a lilac back, a fruit tree, a grape? We're going to all of that. Gardening for newcomers, February 9th, and then it keeps going on. Go for control, the whole thing. Take a look at all of those, watersgardencenter.com. They're right there at the very front page, right up front. I mean, you've put watersgardencenter.com. At the very front, you'll see classes. Just hit the button. Boom, they're all right there. We try to make it as easy as we can. And these classes are well attended. So we start out light with 20, 30 people, but it can be, once we get into tomato and vegetables and grow your own groceries and wildflowers are typically a big audience, we can have upwards to 50 to 100 people. I just never know. We don't know what to plan for. Come a little early so you get a seat. I can tell you that much. On Facebook, we have a tremendous Facebook following. I think there's 8, 9,000 people following our Facebook page. Take a look at that. It's under events. You Facebook folks, you know what to do. So Waters Garden Center on Facebook will pop up. And under the events tab, all the classes are listed right there. So we try to make it available so you know where to go after those. And we take a lot of garden questions. We do want you to be an expert. We want you to be in the rhythm of our seasons here. And so if you get that right, gardening is so easy. If you're still using the same garden sequence you used in Seattle or Chicago or Atlanta, that ain't going to work here. I mean, it's just got to be different because the elevation, the water, the sun, we go into all of those. You folks new to the area, gardening for newcomers, that first one in February, that is going to be a very, very good class for you all. And of course, we hang out here, Lisa and I, we're here at the Garden Center often. So come and talk. We have a full staff of nothing but experts, horticulturalists. We're talking with the big degrees, not Master Gardener. We're talking, they talk Latin. We're talking Arizona certified nursery professional. These folks know how to order by the Latin name or the sequence. They're just, this is their profession. So they become experts at that. So take advantage of that. And this time in winter, if you come in, there's less customers coming in right now. So they're talking houseplants or we've got more time to spend with you, basically. So come in and take advantage of that. So, but throughout the week, Lisa and I camp out here at Waters Gardens, and we love talking to friends about gardening. Until next week, may I wish you and your gardens a prosperous new year.
The Mountain Gardener, your source for garden advice right for the higher elevation of Arizona with local garden expert and the Mountain Gardener himself, Ken Lane. Listen in every week for Ken's tips, tricks, and techniques that are guaranteed to make a difference in your yard this season.
My living room feels so empty.
Now that the Christmas tree is gone, the house just seems so blah.
Brighten it up with a big, bold, beautiful plant from Waters Garden Center.
Fill that cavernous space with tall tropicals, colossal cactus, and sizable succulents that bring the great outdoors indoors.
Make a gorgeous green space you can enjoy all year, not just for a season.
Unique, exclusive, one-of-a-kind houseplants found only at Waters Garden Center in Prescott.
Ouch! Aw, man, another rock! Hi, I'm Rusty. You know, the shovel you're destroying trying to dig that hole? Sure, I get it. You got these beautiful plants at Waters Garden Center. Waters asked if they could plant them for you, but no. You had to do it yourself, even though they would plant, deliver, and guarantee your plants for 2 years. I hope I don't end up like that old pickaxe. Ouch! Prevent yard tool abuse. Waters Garden Center. They plant, deliver, and guarantee.
You've been listening to local garden expert Ken Lane, the owner of Waters Garden Center in Prescott. Join him each week as he answers timely garden questions unique to the area. He can be found throughout the week at Waters Garden Center, located in Prescott at 1815 Iron Springs Road. Thanks for tuning in to The Mountain Gardener.